You're listening to Single Swipe Repeat, a brand new podcast from Cosmopolitan. Our single years are filled with fun, adventure. There are times when we experiment, meet new people, try new things. Ultimately, we're just trying to figure out who we are and what we want. We partnered with Tinder to champion the single journey and to hear real dating stories from young people across the country who are living their best single lives.
With the dating scene as a trans man, especially in a small town where a lot of people don't really know about transgender people and queer people of any sort in the LGBT community, I commonly get misgendered.
Today, we're headed to small town USA, and to kick things off, we're hearing from River, a trans man from North Carolina who's struggling to find love in a small Bible Belt town.
My name is River. I'm 18, and I'm from Mooresville, North Carolina, and I am a trans man who uses male pronouns. Growing up in a small town in the Bible Belt, especially as a trans man, it's a very unique experience, and it definitely has its pros and cons. I grew up in a Pentecostal family, which is very strict Christian, like long skirts, long hair, don't wear makeup, don't cut your hair. And so that made it really hard to come into my sexuality and my gender identity because I was so afraid. So I was already getting the pressure from there to be a cisgendered heterosexual white woman. And then growing up in schools where we have the stereotypical boys in their big trucks and the dip in their back pocket and everything, chewing tobacco, it was very nerve-wracking to feel like I was out of the norm. With the dating scene as a trans man, especially in a small town where a lot of people don't really know about transgender people and queer people of any sort in the LGBT community, I commonly get misgendered. It's actually on an everyday basis, almost constantly, wherever I go. I present as male. As you can tell from my voice, I haven't started HRT. So while I present as male and wear sports bras to try to compress my chest a bit because I would have trouble breathing if I wore a binder, so I just do the best I can with what I have. And wearing the men's shorts and the men's t-shirts or even a men's tank top with a button-up folded over it and a ball cap and short hair, I still constantly get referred to as a woman. I guess because everyone just finds it easier to assume that I am a lesbian who is just very butch than to be a man. So almost always it's, hey ladies, what can I get for you guys today? Or, hi ma'am, how are you? And I'm like, so close. I know in your heart you mean well, but that's not what's going on here. The first time I downloaded Tinder, I was identifying as a woman. I had yet to realize that I was transgender. I was still kind of figuring things out. I was starting to lean that way, but didn't know for sure. So I just put myself on there under my dead name with photos of me as a woman, and I did not have much success. There are not a lot of queer women in the area who would show up on my Tinder. If I only had it set to women, I would get maybe 10 to 15 women. And then it would say, like, we're sorry, that's all we have in your area. You need to maybe expand your location or check back later. And I am bisexual, so I would put it on men and women. And not much luck with women, just because there weren't very many. But I would match with a lot of men, and it was not successful in the slightest. So there's a lot more options now that I'm expanding my dating apps and my location now that I'm able to drive further. But again, still not as many options because I think being a plus-size trans man deters a lot of people. As someone that knows a lot more about dating than I do and knows so much about the field and everything, what kind of advice would you give to a trans man as to how to put yourself out there and make yourself more attractive, I guess, to other people on the dating site?
Ooh, that's a tough one. But to help me answer this question, I'm joined by one of my very close friends, Emily Morse. She's a sexologist. She's an author. She is the host of Sex with Emily on SiriusXM. Emily, it is so awesome to have you here with me today.
So good to be here with you.
All right, so back to River's question. Strictly basing this off of what he's told us, I wish I could see his Tinder profile. I feel like his photos aren't that fresh and new and like giving a great representation of who he is now. So my suggestion would be get a friend, go out, take some new, clear, amazing photos of yourself so that you can update your profile with them. But another thing is that Tinder recently partnered with GLAAD to add new sexual orientation options to the app so that everyone can better express who they are, which is so awesome for River because he could go on, he can mark himself as a trans man who's bisexual, looking for both men and women, and then Tinder will show him those people that he can match with. Or he can also choose to see other people who share the same sexual orientation as him first.
Yeah.
But I get it. It is tough out there. Emily, has that ever happened to you? Like when a dating app tells you you're all out of options?
It's happened to me once and I can't tell you the just heartbreak. It's immediate. There's a screen telling you you're all out of luck.
Like, exactly.
Shit out of luck.
Try again later, maybe. Oh, I think you lost the game, right?
It's a really crappy feeling.
It is.
But like, especially, obviously it's not true.
It's never true. There's always options.
Yeah.
But you got to keep going.
Done. You're
check
done.
Back. Check back. But I could see this being River is trans, and that is challenging where you're at. Where, you know, in many towns that would be challenging to be trans, but then in a town of 30,000, even more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even more so. I mean, I think if you can't change where you're living and where you're dating, then it's just making the most of what's available to you. Like, and I totally believe that there's phases of your life and like things are supposed to happen for a reason. At least like I'm biased because that's how it's happened in my own life. Like most of my 20s, it felt like that is a phase to make friends and really kill it in your career. Like that was a phase for me. Whereas now this next chapter, it's something has shifted. And the reason why things have worked out the way they've worked out is because now I'm in this different phase.
Right.
I think that there's something to be said about if you are living in a small town, you do find that you exhausted all of your options within like 2 days. Maybe this isn't the phase of your life that you're going to meet somebody, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, and even if your end goal isn't to meet anyone, then just have fun with like the options that you have available. I mean, there's something to be said about making adventures for yourself. Like on the weekends, go somewhere that you haven't been before, or even try Tinder Passport, which if you have Tinder Plus or Tinder Gold, allows you to change your location to anywhere in the world and start connecting with people before you even step foot wherever you're traveling.
Absolutely. I feel like there's always things to do. And I kind of think wherever you go, there you are. So while I think for some people it's great to move away, if you also stay in the same town, just don't make it all about dating. Just like yeah. I would tell people anywhere, make it about having a full life and make it about doing the things that you love, building your community. Because you're always going to need your friends and your community support, no matter what happens, whether you're married or in a relationship, dating, breaking up. So I think that, especially like for River, that when we're dwelling on what isn't there, it's hard to focus on what is there. So right. Being present, letting everyone know that you're single also is another great, like I think that there are always people that you can't really possibly know everybody. And if there's transplants or someone moving in, but I think the most important thing is making a full life, you know, wherever you go. And
right.
That serves you in a lifetime. I think I've mostly met people through other friends.
Right.
Or going to a party that I didn't often like. I think saying yes to things too, like going through periods where you're
totally.
Like, you know, we all get very set in our ways and we get in our comfort zone. But when you're really single and you really want to find someone, then I think you start saying yes to things that you wouldn't normally do. Even if it's like your weird neighbor's party, if you're like, they might have friends or something, like just taking risks like that, social risks.
Yeah.
To and meet people like, is important.
Think like joining something where
or creating your joining a league, playing sports, or like making your own like having your own league or having your own, starting your own group of things that you're interested in.
And there's something amazing about dating now is because long distance relationships can be more manageable than ever with technology. I mean, like it's easier than ever to maintain or
to
at
maintain
least attempt
you,
to
maintain
a long distance relationship once you've had that connection with somebody in person.
I think you definitely want to meet someone first.
Yes.
But I think, it is better to be in a long-distance relationship in the sense of we have FaceTime, technology, Skype.
Yeah, we got it all.
All right, so heading to the phones now, we're going to call Catherine, who lives in Clemson, South Carolina, a very small town of 6,000 that swells to 25,000 when school is in session. As a first-gen American with a Haitian mother, she stands out in a conservative college town, and that can get especially tricky when it comes to dating and politics.
Hi, Faye. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Hi.
So we want to hear what it's like dating in your town.
So Clemson is a extremely small city. Residential-wise, there's only about 6,000 people. And then when you include students for about the 9 months that they're there, it goes up to about 25,000
Wow.
So it's a really small town. There's not a Walmart in city at all in the city or a Target. The closest mall is over 20 minutes away.
Whoa.
Yes.
So how do you meet people?
So I was in a relationship with a guy for almost 3 years. And honestly, to answer your question, I have no idea. Hence downloading the dating apps, because it's just hard. There's only 6 bars. Downtown is literally one street and about.
So it's a small town. It really is a legitimately small town. And so now that you're single, have you been able to match with people on there? Or are you just starting that?
Right now, I am not looking for that lifelong goal person. I mean, if it happens, it happens. But that's not necessarily my intentions at the moment.
Okay, so just have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, just casual dating.
Okay.
But I have gone on 3 dates. And there was one individual that I actually ended up seeing a lot.
Oh, so you guys hit it off.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, we hit it off personality-wise. And then one day he invited me back to his place and just saw a giant Trump flag.
Oh.
I tried to have a political discussion with him because I majored in political science.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
He invited you back for a drink and then you talked about politics?
Yes.
Okay, what happened?
I was extremely shocked when he said, I don't care about politics. And I was like, you have a representation of a political figure in your home.
So would you go out with him again?
Actually, that's really interesting because I saw him for about a month straight. I matched with him over spring break and we were both at home and we hung out a lot because it was spring break and definitely a good time.
He's definitely
a caring, kind person. I wish him all the best. But
right, you're so kind. But how do you figure out if someone's right for you? Like, do you know what your deal breakers are?
Yes. But living in South Carolina in a small town, it's very hard to find someone who has the same ideals and beliefs as you. Because I'm like a left-leaning pro-choice and I am a self-described feminist.
Right. That's tough. Well, Catherine, here's the thing. It sounds like you're 23 years old. Like, do you have to stay in Clemson?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. Like, people complain where they're, just so you know, that people complain in New York and they complain in Los Angeles and San Francisco that they live in the worst towns to date. And everyone thinks that. But the truth is, you really, I'm going to give you this. You don't have a lot of variety there. There's actually fewer people. Because I believe that there's more single people now in America than ever. But for you, there's not a lot of options. Like, you're not likely to find people that you even want to hang out with, even if you're not looking for Mr. Right now. Like, is there a chance you could get a job in a town nearby?
South Carolina doesn't really have a large political influence or any type of nonprofits, really, where I'm around.
Nowhere.
Clemson is one of the larger cities in the area.
I grew up in Michigan. I was like, you know what? My family's there. I love them. But I actually wanted to work in politics as well. And I graduated from college and I was reading in the newspaper that it was the year of the woman and all these women are running for Senate in San Francisco. And I got my car and drove out there and worked for those women to get them elected. And so if this is your passion, maybe you could look for a job, span the circle bigger, wider.
Yes, that's definitely something that I've been thinking about, discussing with my friends and family, saying like when my lease is up, I want to move up north. But I interned in DC and I loved it.
Love that. So I feel like you know this about yourself and so you won't regret it. I'm just telling you that. Yeah. I think people don't regret leaving their towns, but I know it's hard and it's really brave.
All right, Catherine, well, thank you so much for being on. We so appreciate it. Your stories were awesome.
Thank you.
I moved to San Francisco. I had 3 jobs. I waitressed at night. I volunteered for a campaign during the day. I didn't want to live in Michigan, though, forever. So I got in my Geo Prism and drove cross country. Yeah. And I'm not saying it was easy, but it was the right thing to do because I felt a lot like you did.
Yeah, and I feel like you hear that story all the time. Like,
right?
It's a tale as old as time here.
Yeah.
People just pick up with pretty much nothing.
I had nothing.
And they move.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So. It's fear. And just think about it. You could always go back if you don't like it, but you could say, like, I'm going to go for 3 months and try it out.
All right. Back to the phones. We're going to hear from Jamie. He's a bartender who runs his own longboarding company in rural Wisconsin. He lives in a town so small, it was once left off the official state map. At 2,500 residents, it's as close-knit as a private high school. And unlike big cities where you're bound to spend a night out on the town, Jamie has had to find plenty of creative ways to date. All right, so paint us a picture of what your town looks like. I want to know what a population of 2,500 yeah. looks and feels like.
So my town is Winnick County, Wisconsin. We have 9 bars.
9. Wow.
Wonderful. It's a water town community. Lots of tourism in the summer. So there will be like fishing tournaments constantly. I'm one of those weird guys that doesn't fish in town.
What's it like dating in a town of 2,500 if you don't fish?
Oh, man, there's so much stuff to do if you have enough creativity or just an open mind. I guess first I kind of try and feel out what the person I'm with is comfortable with, because I'm super open-minded that way, where I'll try anything once at least.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, great attitude good. To have. That is good.
One time I went in Appleton, which is about 18 miles away. There's like a costume shop. So for one of my dates, we went to the costume shop and we got fake mustaches and wigs and just random stuff we wanted to put on, and kind of just decided to walk around.
Right. Especially right. when you're dressed up in costumes and it's not Halloween.
Yeah. Were you like role playing during it, like accents and everything?
I turned on some like old school jazz from Pandora and we just kind of had a day.
Cool. Have you been on like any other interesting dates?
So I met a girl, and I actually taught this girl, her name was Heather, how to longboard. So she hadn't done it before. So what I like to do is skateboard right next to that person, and then we actually hold hands, and then I can foot brake both of us, so I can slow us both down. She didn't fall. We had a great time. I feel like wherever you go, everybody's says the same story. Like, oh, there's nothing to do. There's nothing ever to do. For instance, so this is a water town. There's water absolutely everywhere. So I told my girlfriend, I said, hey, we don't have a boat, but we literally have a bunch of foam. We have this really crappy little raft. Let's just strap all this shit together. And we made a raft and straight up like paddled that bitch down the river, like right up to the bar on the water, and then walked around.
No way.
That's fun. Wow.
You know, and like for some people that would be embarrassing because they're so constantly worried about people judging, when it actually became like a really cool thing because she was so open-minded.
That's so awesome. Way to think outside of the box.
How do you meet people in your town?
It's really easy because everyone knows everybody.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is, and it isn't at the same time. I mean, like, let's say you go out in town and you make a complete ass of yourself. You get a little too drunk or maybe a little too high, and that will get passed around to absolutely everybody. So
right, exactly.
Do you feel like most people in your town tend to skew very nice in terms of personality, because you guys all basically know each other and you have these reputations that you need to, you know, make sure are good?
It's really hard to explain, because people move away but come back and, you know, recycle, transplants come in, you know. It's kind of like, I feel like everywhere is the exact same place, no matter where you go. People are all basically the same. You just have more of a group, like more assholes or more nice people, or, you know.
So do you feel like you have to give people more chances because there's less options?
Yeah. Also, it's very easy to fall back into an old relationship.
Yeah.
Because you don't have too many options.
What are your distance settings on Tinder? How far away are you willing to go?
I try not to go past like, I think like 25 to 30 miles is like max for me.
So what's the best way you've met someone?
The best way I've met somebody is I walked up to him and I think my line was, I dig the fuck out of your purple hat. And for some reason that maybe the way I said it, or just maybe the confidence, I don't know how it all works.
Confidence.
Confidence, yeah.
And I always say, tell guys, give a compliment. And be specific, I always say. I'm like, don't just tell her she looks hot. Be specific. Yeah. And I would say that's a very specific compliment.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think put on her heels a little bit. And then it kind of started the conversation, and she gave me a chance.
Nice.
All right, Jamie. Well, thank you so much for this.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
It's got to be tough, though, date in a small town where literally everybody knows each other.
Everybody, yeah.
Everybody knows your business. You have one bad night out, just get a little bit too drunk, and like
people already know.
Yeah,
and tough.
Just like the limited dating pool, like, is that the answer? Like, unless you move,
I don't know. Well, Jamie had a different opinion. He said there's always, Jamie was more positive about it. Because he's like, oh, no, there's always transplants, people coming in, or you recycle your people. So he was more open.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key wherever you're living is to keep an open mind when you're dating. So you mentioned you grew up in Michigan.
I grew up like in a suburb of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Farmington Hills, small town. Okay. Yeah, I went to University of Michigan.
Did you date when you were?
I did. I did. Yeah, I dated. I always had a boyfriend. Mm. I was like a serial monogamist. Always had a man in my life. I was like 2-year relationships, then I'd end it, and then I'd meet someone else like the next day. Wow. I was like, well, I can't stop.
Yeah.
I was like, kept saying, I get into relationships, and then I would be like, okay, I need a break, and then I'd like fall in love again, or I thought love, and then eventually I realized I really need to take my own advice and spend some time without a man. Who am I without a relationship?
No, I totally understand that. Like, just as much as being in a relationship is awesome, it's also really great to be able to just enjoy the single life too, because those experiences can be fun,
yeah,
memorable, and amazing, just like you, Emily. So this has been so awesome. Tell me where we can find you next.
Hey, thank you for having me. You can find my podcast, Sex with Emily, wherever you listen to podcasts. We release 3 podcasts a week, and then every night I am on SiriusXM Radio, channel 109 Stars, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East, Monday through Friday, and you guys can call in there, and it's all social media. I'm at Sex with Emily.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you have a dating story that you feel like we need to hear, hit me up on Insta at FayeBaby4 or on Twitter at FayeBrennanNYC with the hashtag SingleSwipeRepeat. Thanks for listening to Single Swipe Repeat by Cosmopolitan in partnership with Tinder. Produced by Edit Audio, with special thanks to Steph Colborn, Cecilia Keating, Katie Jensen, Megan Boise, Courtney Turnbull, Sarah Schroeder, and Marnie Braverman. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, leave us a review, and stay tuned for next week's.